Everyone, welcome back to Behind the Veil. This is episode 4, and today we're going to do something a little bit different, joined by co-host Taylor as usual. Taylor, what do we got going on today?
So we have something a little bit different today. We're going to do a discussion topic. So let's see, a current event discussion topic. So I picked something that's going on that directly affects our business and our livelihood, and our lives could change a lot of things for us. So first off, how's your week going?
It's going okay.
Yeah.
So we pre-record all of our episodes, everybody. So.
I almost said weekend because it's really actually the weekend. It's a
weekend. So today's discussion topic is a political one. So there is a chance that things change by the time it releases, but I personally don't think it will. There might be some future developments, but this is going to, what we're going to talk about, I think, has got another month at least before it has any major effect. Weekend is going good, ready for Monday to get back to work.
Yeah, as always.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's see. Let's dive into a piece of legislation that's been making waves in the Second Amendment community for years now, the Hearing Protection Act. It seeks to remove suppressors from the National Firearms Act, the NFA regulation, and treat them similarly to rifles and shotguns, simplifying the purchase and transfer process through the National Instant Criminal Background Check System, which is NICS, which is just your standard background check.
Yeah, when you go buy a gun, they background check you. It goes through NICS.
Yeah, which in turn would remove the tax stamp, $200, and the long waiting periods. So this bill recently passed the House and is sitting in the Senate. So let's dive into that and, like, what's your opinion on it? And being an avid shooter and competitor for most of your life, do you believe that this suppressor should be regulated as they are now? Do you believe in this bill? Like, what are your thoughts on it?
So the bill's been introduced before, Hearing Protection Act, HPA. Multiple times, and it's never gone anywhere. The chance of it going somewhere, this is probably the best chance of it going somewhere, because they embedded it with the big beautiful bill, as Trump's calling it. I'll get further into what I feel about that whole thing, but this is its best opportunity to move forward. It has passed the House and it has to go to the Senate. As far as what I feel about suppressors, I don't think they should be regulated at all. So this is probably a controversial take on this, but to me personally, I don't like, I think this, if this bill passes, it is a step in the right direction, but I don't think it's like caving in on the Second Amendment. So to me, a suppressor should be no different than a muzzle device. It is clearly not a firearm. So the way they're proposing it right now would be, it should be, they would be regulated the same as purchasing a rifle, a long gun, handgun, whatever. So where you have to go in and you got to do a background check. And then you go through whatever your state regulation is on that, goes through NICS, and then you can get the suppressor. So it's still tracked and regulated. And to me, a suppressor shouldn't be any different than a muzzle brake, shouldn't be different than buying a scope, it shouldn't be any different than buying anything. And I get that it could be a win if it passes, but what I do not like is settling. That we're settling to think that, one, it's not a firearm. It's clearly not a firearm. Why would you define it as a firearm, treat it? It's not a firearm. It's a suppressor. You know, it's a piece of metal. It's nothing, you know, wazoo. It's no different in my eyes than an accessory, like a muzzle brake or a grip or a trigger or anything else. So a truist to the Second Amendment, it shouldn't be regulated at all. But I feel the same way about full autos. I feel the same way about everything. If the military own it, a civilian should be able to own it. So I'm a little bit extreme to some on that sense. But the problem I have with it is, if it does pass, we're now showing that we can regulate things as what they aren't, and we can put things in different categories. So now that gives an option, let's say other accessories that are controversial, like bump stocks or the FRT, the, you know, force reset triggers, or, you know, where the government has tried to regulate and has failed, but maybe now this is another avenue. Like, well, we can't make it completely illegal, but we can push it as this, what was an accessory, a trigger, a stock, you know, a foregrip, whatever it may be, an optic. It kind of opens that up. So I I fear backlash in it. Whether it'll go that way, I hope not. But if it was up to me, it just wouldn't be regulated at all. It'd be removed from the NFA. It would not require a tax stamp. You'd be able to walk into a shop and just buy it, just like you buy a cleaning kit. And that's how I truly feel about it. As far as it goes with the it passing, so right now it's got to get through the Senate. And the Senate, the other issue I see with this is Republicans control the Senate, but I think they only control it by like 3 votes. And what I do know is there's a bunch of Republicans that are rhinos that don't have our best interests, just like there's Democrats. They're politicians. They're all the same to me, Democrat, Republican. For the most part, I disagree with the majority of them, and I feel that 3 is too close to where it could turn it, and you could see some Republicans vote against it. And the reason why I say the Big Beautiful Bill is important to talk about is because it's nestled within the Big Beautiful Bill. Now, the good thing at the moment is they're not picking apart that section of the Big Beautiful Bill. Elon, Trump are going back and forth, and they're talking about the increased debt ceiling, the increased spending. Elon's mad about the EV cuts. You know, they're bickering over things. So if there was a time for the Hearing Protection Act to pass, it would be now, purely that it's in a giant bill full of other crap. And it's these same bills that we hated when Obama was in, when every president was in. You know, you get a 2,000-page bill, and it's what else is shoved, you know, inside that bill to make it to pass. And that's where a lot of stupid spending happens. I feel that, you know, Elon going, you know, his time within, we'll say the White House, you know, as they're picking apart the finance and exposing a lot of stuff, and they're trying to clean it up. And I think that's why he's actually really upset about the whole thing, is because as soon as he gets out, this big, beautiful bill goes, and there's, what is it, like $4 trillion in debt increase and all this other stuff. So there is a bunch of great stuff on that bill with the tax cuts, but there's some crap. And I think that's part of the bipartisan goal in politics, is they give a little here, give a little there, ignore that, let that through. But it is a spending bill by definition, due to the increased debt that it's going to have. There's a lot of cuts. There's a lot of federal employee cuts. They're cutting, you know, all these areas, and that's what Elon and Doge set in to do. So it's kind of, I get why he's mad, because he comes in and does all this cutting, and then the first big bill that they do, they name it the Big Beautiful Bill, which is stupid for a name, but that goes along with how Trump names things. And they immediately throw a bunch more debt increase. They chop some areas, but they increase debt. So Hearing Protection Act is embedded in that. So there is a chance that it gets passed and goes through. I don't see anything happening before the 4th of July. I would bet that Senate is going to pick it apart now that there's some more attention drawn to it with Elon and doing all the Twitter and tweeting about it and them going back and forth. And now they're talking about the Epstein list, and I think we could get into that, but I don't think we should. I think it's going to get drug out. It's going to get picked apart. Hopefully this just slides under the rug and doesn't become a main topic, and then there's a high chance that it get passed. But I would say it's at least another month before the Senate were to pass it. But you still have the risk of these rhinos that are all through the Senate and the House showing their true colors and going against it, maybe not for the Hearing Protection Act, but more so on the spending, the fiscal side, and some other things that are within the bill could drag it down. I have a lot of thoughts on the politics side of it, though. But anywho.
You're trying to steer clear, keep it YouTube friendly?
No, I don't think this is meant to be a political.
Yeah, for sure.
I'll tell you my personal stance on stuff, but I don't want to go
deep dive overly into
political, because I could veer too, you know, I like to talk. I'll veer too far off of the Hearing Protection Act and what it means for Supervel and Hush Puppy. So I'd rather just try to keep it in balance.
Keep it friendly.
For now.
Yeah, for sure. No, I didn't. I guess when I first looked at it, initially I didn't realize it was nestled into that big, beautiful bill. And I don't know if a lot of people do realize that. Like, obviously before this episode, I researched it and looked into it. But
the two-way community is talking about it as a standalone topic, because it is, which is great, but it's part of a bigger bill. It's embedded within that. So like, if that big bill gets shot down, it goes with it. Now they could they'd have to go back through and push it as a standalone. And so that was the issues before, is whenever it was proposed as a standalone, conveniently the last time it was proposed, do you know what the date was? I'm pretty sure it was really close to October 19th. So, and same thing on the bump stocks came right after that. So a lot of this stuff, like, I think it was, I might be wrong, I might have to get fact checked on that. But typically, conveniently, anytime it's been pushed forward, there's been a mass shooting right around that time and it's been shot down. Now, sorry, you were about to ask a question, I interrupted.
Yeah, so I guess thinking about it on a business side, so we have Superville, obviously, and then we have the Hush Puppy Project, which is a suppressor, and we hold a patent on the slide lock device for that accompanies making that suppressor, you know, even quieter. So if this does pass, like, what do you think that means for the Hush Puppy Project?
I think we should define Hush Puppy, and I should have brought one out. For the YouTube viewers, maybe we could...
I'll splice something in.
Overlay right now a Hush Puppy picture of a Hush Puppy pistol and a Hush Puppy Model 2 suppressor. So for those of you who do not know what Hush Puppy is, so the Hush Puppy Project is a separate business that we own. It's manufacturing of the Hush Puppy pistols and the Hush Puppy suppressors. We hold the trademarks on Hush Puppy. We hold the utility patents on the SLD switch, which is the slide lock device, from frame to slide, slide to frame on any pistol. And we hold the design patents too, so we're pretty freaking protected and covered on Hush Puppy itself. On the Superville side, we have a full line of ammunition called Hush Puppy Ammunition. And it's all based on suppressor subsonic ammunition and suppressor. So the Hush Puppy pistol, and a little bit about a history thing. So back in the 60s, 70s, the Navy SEALs were issued a Hush Puppy pistol. Superville had the contract to provide the ammo for the SEALs. That's where you see the 158 grade 9mm. That's a replication of that load that was provided for the original Hush pistol. Now, fast forward, you know, 80 plus years, we control both Superville Ammunition and the Hush Puppy Project, Hush Puppy pistol, the Hush Puppy wipe suppressor. Where you guys have probably seen it lately is I've been licensing our utility patents, design patents, and trademarks to other brands. Our primary focus here as a company as a whole is more on the ammunition side, and that's where our networking is. And so BNT, you'll see the Hush Puppy, that's our design, our patents, everything being used. When you get the BNT kit, you'll see ammunition in there that is loaded here at Superville Ammunition. It's a co-branded box that says Superville Ammunition, Hush Puppy, and BNT. So we manufacture all the ammunition for them, and then I licensed the trademarks to them to use, and I licensed all the patents, the design and utility patents for the slide lock device on the pistol. Basically what that does is it renders the slide inoperable when firing. So the gun can still fire and it locks the slide, so you avoid all the escaping gases, all the gas noise. It basically makes a semi-auto a single shot with the flip of a switch, and it makes it about 30% quieter. So any suppressor you put on that gun is typically about 30% quieter. If you run our Model 2 or their variant of the Model 2, which looks almost identical, it's a little internally different. It's a wipe-style suppressor, and we should do an episode on this because it's a lot of nerd shit. But it's about as quiet as you can get, similar to like a Welrod, like, but it's in a Glock. So you could flip a switch, single shot, flip the switch up, rack the gun, shoot it full semi-auto. So you kind of can play both sides to it. So what it would do if this bill passes for supervalued ammunition hush puppy. If individuals are able to go to this, just go into a gun shop and buy a suppressor off the shelf and just do a NICS background check, you would sell a lot more suppressors. So Hush Puppy, our side of the company, or that side of the company, would obviously massively grow. There would be a spike. I'm sure there would be a settling period. A lot of people don't want to pay the $200 tax stamp and wait. Now, the wait times like have come down a lot.
Yeah.
So the ATF's improved that. I mean, we've seen some come back 24 hours, 48 hours, 72 seems long now. Instead of 11 months, you're a couple days. So aside from waiting for this to pass, if you are know that, you could go into a shop, do all the paperwork, Form 4, and you can have a suppressor typically within 24 to 48 hours. They've just been coming back that quick. But if that were to go away, there would be a lot more people buying, because it'd be a lot easier. I know if I wasn't who I am and I manufacture them, if I wasn't normal individual that had to go buy them in this past, I would absolutely be buying them. So we would expect a massive increase on sales, which would require a massive increase on production of the suppressors. And then on the ammunition side, that goes hand in hand. When suppressors are moving, ammunition's going to move. More people are shooting suppressed. They want to shoot quality subsonic. We have, you know, the FMJ training loads. And then we also have the defensive variants of those two under the Hush Puppy line. And the Hush Puppy line is continually going to be growing. So it's a good thing. If it passes, it's a step in the right direction. I'm still hesitant because I feel like it should not be regulated at all. If it does, yes, that it will cause some increases in business for those who are in the suppressor industry or in the ammunition industry manufacturing for suppressors. So that will all be good. And we'll be in a better position because we're moving in a month and we'll have way more capability to increase that manufacturing as well.
Yeah. The way they're approaching this bill, I mean, we see it a bit as like freedoms being added, like it shouldn't be regulated, but the actual hearing protection part of it is pretty cool too, because shooting as much as you do, like your hearing, yeah, honestly is affected a lot.
I like the part for me that I think would help a lot, and I would, the biggest shift I would see happening, if you deregulate that from an NFA item, there's a crap load of manufacturers that don't manufacture NFA items like we do. Mm-hmm. That would then step into this space. So let's just pick a name, Remington. So Remington makes a bunch of hunting rifles. There's nothing better as a hunter than to go hunt suppressed if legal within that state. That's a big advantage. It makes the whole experience a lot better. Most time when we're hunting, we don't have ear pro on. You're packing in there. And if you're shooting, you know, large caliber, you're blowing your eardrums, like, unless you take ear pro with you and you remember to put them on. But situationally, that doesn't always happen. So, like, anytime I can shoot suppressed when I hunt, I do. Most of the time, I'm doing archery nowadays. But nonetheless, that market is huge, the hunting market. And there's a lot of gun manufacturers in that space that could just immediately start making suppressors. Mm-hmm. So there'd be a huge growth wave, which would then drive further development and advancement in suppressor technology. So like that space would grow. And then when that happens, what happens? It becomes more competitive for the consumer. The prices would start to come down because the suppressor industry this entire time has been more of a, I don't say like elite, but typically people buying suppressors have money. And so a lot of these brands that are manufacturing suppressors, their price point is based on the market they're targeting. Well, when you get a bunch, basically every gun manufacturer with the ability to manufacture them and sell them with a kit with a gun and not have to do all that, that encourages them to do that. And those are big dogs that have a lot of money. There's a whole bunch of them, and they have a lot of different market to attach. So it would be great for the industry in a whole because it would drive development. The customers would like it because the price would get driven down, because you'd get companies that bargain build, just cutting it out and selling guns and suppressors kind of together, kit style stuff, which that's what the Hush Puppy kit is. Mm-hmm. It's a gun suppressor kit, but you still have to go through the traditional. You've got to do your background check on the gun, and then they have to do, you know, the Form 4 on the suppressor. This would just be a background check, and it would be line itemed as if you bought two firearms according to this bill. It would be the firearm, and then it would be another line item serialized for that suppressor, which is cool. I still think it shouldn't be any different than buying a scope or a muzzle device, but that's me. It's a step in the right direction. So people probably aren't thinking of it on that side. The business side is it would create a lot of oversaturation in the marketplace within a year or two, because a lot of the companies that haven't been playing in that space would then probably start playing in it because their customer base would be utilizing it. So
yeah, and allow everything to kind of level up together. Like you said, the technology, everything would advance, because once one person does it, then the next company, then the big dogs do it, then everyone catches up. Like, we all push each other.
As technology, you know, if you go from wipe to baffle and the baffle technology, and then you go into like what Hux is heavily doing with flow through technology, and then 3D printing, metal 3D printing, huge advancement. So now like baffle style is kind of old. Wipe is extremely old. Metal 3D printing is kind of the way of the future. There's some limitations on all of them, but some of these much larger companies have bankrolls to figure out a lot more stuff, and it could just really, it creates good innovation and competition in the industry. We as a company are a bit more niche on our approach, and I'm not trying to chase what the big dogs and all of them are doing. I'm not trying to, that's why I'll gladly license our patents and trademarks if they adhere to my requirements. But I'm not trying to be a gatekeeper on anything. And for us, that business sells ammunition. So it's a win-win. If we make money on suppressors, we make money on the guns, and then in turn, they're going to buy the ammunition to feed it.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, even on the Supervel side, I feel like that would push us into subsonic ammo. Like, we already have plans to, but to push us into that further on the ammunition side, just development and the need would be there.
Yeah, there's some better bullet development that could be done. A lot of ballistics are based on supersonic. Now, obviously, some of like the hunting calibers, they're going to maintain supersonic, but there are some borderline calibers to where there's projectile designs out there that perform, they're designed to perform on supersonic. They could be downloaded to shoot subsonic, but then that bullet's not going to do its expansion on the defensive side. That's more where we come in. And with the manufacturing we're adding in the new facility, is specifically targeted on that. So we will eat up a part of that market share. And there's a handful of other companies that have the ability to do what we're about to do. My hope is to do it, obviously, as good as them or better. And that just takes time. But it'll drive innovation in the ammunition side, too, because if more people are wanting to suppress more things, the development of ammunition needs to match that. So that's a perfect example is the 9mm. So it's right now to shoot through a wipe suppressor. If you shoot an FMJ, you're fine, no deforming. If you shoot an external hollow point, like the corkscrew ones and all those fancy ones you see that are Swiss turn solid copper, those are not going to deform. If you shoot a jacketed hollow point, a traditional hollow point, you're going to deform on impact of wipes, and then you're going to strike your end caps and cause damage to your suppressor. As far as I know, we manufacture the only or one of the only specifically suppressor design loads that is a traditional hollow point, but it's a solid copper hollow point that has a specific heat treat to not expand through those wipes until it impacts target. And it's a barrier blind, and then you get full expansion, so it's the best of both worlds. But stuff like that will then begin happening. I could see other brands and looking at, you know, that style of technology within their bullet manufacturing process, which is good, which I like, because it drives innovation.
Yeah,
brings more business across the board
for sure. All right, so final thoughts on this. Like, do you think politically it's the time to pass? You already talked about a bit like how they're going to nitpick this big, they're already nitpicking this big, beautiful bill. We've seen the tweets. We've seen all the things going on. Do you think it's time where it will go through?
It's the best chance it's had. So after all the attempts, this is the best chance it has of going due to control of House and Senate. We don't control the Senate as much as we. Republicans don't control the Senate as much as they would like, or I would like to see for this to actually get passed, because it only takes a couple. And they wouldn't, I would say, being it's part of that big, beautiful bill, and there is now receiving a lot of heat, that's the only reason it wouldn't go. It wouldn't because of the Hearing Protection Act. It'd be because of all the other bull crap in the bill that would sway people against it, and then the Hearing Protection Act would have to then go later independently to get through. I personally like to shoot suppressed as much as I can. So when I compete, like USPSA, they don't allow suppressed, which is BS. When we shoot like PCSL, I shoot all my stuff suppressed. I enjoy shooting suppressed. It's a lot more fun. It's a bit different experience. It just feels cool, tactical. I mean, I would compete full auto if they would allow it, but I think if they did pass this, you'd see the shooting sports grow a lot in that area. You'd see a lot of development and growth in companies and manufacturing, and it would change a lot. You'd see holster manufacturers making more compatibility. You'd see ammo manufacturers chasing suppressor subsonic stuff, which we already do. We already have a leg up on most of them. You'd see gun manufacturers selling more, most of their guns with threaded barrels. You'd see, you know, the hunting manufacturers probably an option to add on a suppressor or a removable muzzle device, or, you know, like the war comp, like suppressor designed to go right over your hunting muzzle device. So you'd see a lot of technology development and barreling and ammunition, gear, accessories. So it's good for business, and it would grow entirely. Whether it happens or not, I mean, I hope it does. I wish it was just, hey, you can go buy it off the shelf or order it online, get that thing on Amazon delivered. But we know that's not going to happen. So I would say it ain't going to happen until after 4th of July, though, in my opinion, just based on how aggressive everything's getting right now with the rest of that bill.
Yeah. I hope that they take into light, like you just said, like the hunting, all the different aspects of it, because I feel like in the past, suppressors, silencers has always been painted as like a assassin type thing. Like it's always been painted so negatively.
It gets roped in with when they say an assault weapon, just like SBRs, full auto. Like it gets roped in because it's NFA regulated. It gets roped in with full auto, SBR, assault, bump stock, all these stupid terms that they're using and regulating, which none of it should be regulated. So it has a bad light on it. The best thing that can be done on promotional side of and why they named it the Hearing Protection Act, mm-hmm, is because that's the intended goal, is to protect hearing. So for outdoorsmen, for hunters, for, you know, disturbance type things, the left side of the aisle is looking at it as like, oh, these are assassins. Someone's going to, you know, in public space, now they have an advantage or whatever it may be. But we have to look at the good that can come from it on gun ranges, as outdoorsmen, youth into shooting, new shooters, hunters, pretty much all of the benefits that will come for it need to be focused on a lot more than the negative thought. I don't think someone coming to do a mass shooting cares how loud or quiet it is.
No, and I think we already know bad guys don't follow the rules.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter
anyways. Yeah, I mean, we've seen most of these guys, bad guys don't, you know, they're not following the rules anyway, so...
Yeah, I'd like it to, it could help. For me, it doesn't change a whole lot because I can manufacture and own as many suppressors as I want. So, but for everyone who isn't in that position, I think majority of people want this to pass that are gun people, and to see the change that it will bring. As far as Superville, another point, so like I mentioned with the move into the new facility, right now, the hush puppy line's limitations is based on a lot of our manufacturing capacity, which has to do with the space available and the machinery we have the power to run. And we prioritize the ammunition side of the business. Within the new space, we'll be in position to where, however this goes, if it takes off and things go, we are already planned and positioned to ride with it, to increase, to offer some new SKUs, to lean into further development. it would encourage us to do more of that. Right now, we're very niche in the the suppressor. I mean, at the moment, we just manufacture the Model 2, which is a 9mm niche suppressor for the Hush Puppy pistol. It would encourage me to look further into growing the into other suppressor manufacturing, along with the munitions, and we'll be able to in the new facility. And it's already, it's being laid out for that to happen. So that'll be good. More jobs, more American jobs,
yep.
More machinists and expensive ass machinery to get it done with.
Closer to the end goal, creating, yep, American workspace and pulling some of that back to the U.S., American jobs, American families, building that culture, trying to change the game a little bit.
That is the plan.
All right. Well, do you have anything else?
No. This one's kind of
simple,
short and to the point. Maybe the next one we'll do a Q&A, or if there's other topics people want us to discuss, put them in the comments below. If you're watching on YouTube or if you're listening on podcast, please like and subscribe. I didn't realize on like Spotify and stuff, you can rate podcasts. I didn't know that. Can. Give us good ratings. Or if you feel like we suck, give us a bad one. I don't care. But, you know, rate it. Let us know what you guys think. Interact. Put in the comments what you'd want us to discuss, talk about. We're pretty open to it. We tried to change it up a little bit today. So
I've created a feedback section on our website. So if you go to supervalueammunition.com, you can put /podcast, or you can just click on the podcast link, scroll down, and there's a spot where you can put some feedback, questions, anything. Okay. Obviously, we're open to mold this to, you know, what you guys are looking for. Pick our brains, see whatever you guys want to see. We're an open book. So you can find that there, and plus to all the past episodes. So if you missed the links on social or anything like that, there's a library of all the episodes there if you want to deep dive, binge listen.
Check it out. Well, I mean, we're only four in.
Hey, you never know.
We've only got 2 hours of me talking. So maybe a little bit.
Got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
But
all righty. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us on Behind the Veil, Episode 4. By the time this episode drops, things may have changed, but I highly doubt it. And the Hearing Protection Act is a step in the right direction in restoring our Second Amendment rights. I'd like to see it all just go away and we could do whatever we wanted, but you got to take what you can get. So, all right, we'll see you guys next time.
See ya.